Hello there. Welcome to Translating Heart Intelligence. You're here today with Kenna and Justin. Hi, Kenna.
Hi, Justin. I'm excited to be here with you today. I think we're gonna. In our previous episode, our intention was to cover some ideas I was working on and letters I had sent out regarding housing. But I think we're going to actually do our final episode idea that I had. I think it's going to be a lot more applicable to what people might be curious about. And what do you think about that?
Well, no time like the present, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's true. For this idea today, I want to share with the listeners a letter that I wrote to the Attorney General, the Department of Justice Attorney General, with the help of the chat GPT. And the idea is to essentially recirculate and reuse existing monies that we have in our financial system and government system, to recirculate that back to people so people can begin repairing their own communities if that's what somebody wants to do. Yeah, that was, you did it. Justin did like a, like the hoorah fist thing. It's pretty funny. So it is a little bit long, so you'll have to bear with me, but I am going to straight read the letter that I sent. I believe his name is Inspector General Sean O'Neill, and this was my idea. And then we're gonna explore a lot this way more in depth after this, okay? So, dear Attorney General, I am writing to respectfully share a public trust proposal regarding fraud recovery in Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and related care systems. When fraud extracts from programs meant to protect elders, disabled people, children, patients, and caregivers, the public often sees the scandal, but not the repair. I would like to propose exploring a fraud to care reinvestment pathway where recovered assets from confirmed care system fraud are transparently reported and where legally authorized redirected into visible care infrastructure. This could include, but not be limited to, elder day centers, disability respite programs, childcare facilities, caregiver support hubs, transportation access, or local care navigation services. The core principle is simple. When money is stolen from care systems, recovered value should return to care. This would not replace Department of Justice enforcement or place additional suspicion on legitimate beneficiaries. The focus should remain on confirmed fraud, organized extraction patterns, provider-side abuse, identity misuse, and improper billing networks. DOJ could continue its enforcement role while Congress, Treasury, HHS, SSA, and CMS, or state partners, establish the legal and administrative pathways for reinvestment. A public dashboard could show fraud category to the amount recovered, to the care project funded, to the community served, and oversight status. This could help rebuild public trust by showing that enforcement produces tangible repair, not only punishment. It may also strengthen deterrence. Anyone who steals from care systems would know that recovered assets will be used to build support for the very populations harmed. Respectfully, I believe this model could turn fraud exposure into visible restoration and help demonstrate the Department of Justice's capacity not only to prosecute wrongdoing, but to help restore public confidence through transparent repair. Thank you for your time and consideration. Sincerely, Kenna. So, what do you think of that, Justin?
Well, a lot of things come into mind from my perspective. Mostly, one of those things, the first thing that popped up to me was the Social Security. We're not even gonna, nobody even mentioned the fact that, the vampires are real because there are some 200-year-old people still collecting Social Security. But those kinds of programs being reimbursed back to hospitals, schools, veterans, stuff like that, that would be a great idea.
Well, so in our previous episode, we were exploring how money gained from tariffs can get filtered down to people that would want to participate in that, especially if they were in a time of hardship. And that is using, well, and also the artificial intelligence dividend for people that may be losing their job, right?
Right.
So that was in our previous episode. So we were talking about using funds that are already there for those ideas. So this one, there is, I mean, just like you were saying, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the news where that's being discussed a lot, where the amount that is being found in fraudulent money is just astronomical. And I think it's so interesting that in all of those articles, nobody ever says where the money goes after it's collected. So this was my interpretation, my attempt at exploring that amount of money, those resources, in a way where it could help many people.
Yeah, be re-injected back to the states. Mostly I see from what I see, it would be most helpful for the homeless and schools.
Yeah.
Because school budgets have really been down everywhere. And our, you know, our children are the future, and we need to strengthen all of that as much as possible.
Well, I think the tariff rebates would be a really good stabilizer for a lot of people in their survival needs through like a time of financial transition. When I agree that those are the people, a lot of the people that could really use a lot of the help.
Well, and the big they have already proven that they can submit checks out to everybody, every citizen in the United States. So, it just going right back to the federal government, and nobody's being told as to where it goes,
Yeah.
whether it be, flamingo dancing lessons in South America or basket weaving in Iran, I didn't consent to that. So,
So it would be really good for us to be able to have more transparency. I think that would be a must in order for something like this to work, where people deserve to be told, okay, so if that money is just waiting there, we can use it then. People should, I guess that was my biggest, one of my biggest goals with this was finding a way for people to help repair their community and their world because there's all this money waiting. Just waiting for people to be able to do that. But first it has to start with, the Department of Justice or people finding the fraud, going through the legal process. If there's reparations that have to be made, and there's money left, there's a lot there. Like today, I was actually just check. I just searched on the Google, the normal Google, for fraud, and I went to the Federal Trade Commission website, which was FTC.gov, and it was an article in June, and they said that $3.5 billion in imposter scams. So just from that one type of scam in 2025, last year, they acquired $3.5 billion, which to me, if we could find a way for people to have access, to have a chance to use some of those funds that harmed their communities, if they could use that money to help build a better community, I think that would be so beautiful. And do you think now's a good time? So I did a lot of work, because I sent this particular letter in on May 13th, and I've been doing a lot of work thinking about, from more of a collective perspective, how do we communicate with the people that would allocate the money? So there's people going after the fraud, there's funds being collected. Okay, so how could we disperse those funds to people realistically using what already exists? And so that's where I actually did another letter to the Treasury. And my final one that I came up with, I actually sent yesterday. I
Wow.
was thinking about this a lot. And if we are making bridges to where we want to go, you know, because ideally, like, we wouldn't have to worry about this stuff, or, you know, more people would be able to be taken care of. We would have more sustainable systems to give our children. But I don't really feel like that's there. So this is my attempt at trying to create that, to create a bridge. I'll probably just share the beginning of my Treasury letter that I sent yesterday.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna do a summary after, because it's really long.
Okay.
So this is the beginning. And this ties into the letter that was sent to the Inspector General in May. So, August 12, 2026, Dear U.S. Department of the Treasury, I am writing to share a concept for a public-facing community project portal that could help translate lawfully recoverable public value into visible community repair. The central idea is simple. When federal funds are lawfully recovered from fraud, improper payments, settlements, forfeitures, or other forms of financial misconduct, could a defined portion of eligible funds, after restitution, statutory obligations, and other legal requirements are satisfied, be returned to a protected community reinvestment pool? So I know that that's more of like the financial jargon. What does just the beginning of that sound like to you?
Reallocation of funds to the states. Maybe more like that.
Okay. Well, I'll keep going with the summary, and then we'll check back in, okay?
Okay.
The proposal, so this is the summary. Sorry, just to make sure. The proposal asks whether some money that the government lawfully requires or recovers from fraud or misuse after victims are repaid and legal requirements are met could be placed into a community reinvestment pool. People in communities could then use a single public project portal to submit practical rebuilding ideas without needing to know which federal agency handles what. The government would route each project to the right existing system, such as HUD for housing, USDA for rural infrastructure, labor for apprenticeships, or transportation for mobility. The core loop is fund the project, build the project, protect it, recover assets, replenish funds, and build again. If fraud happens, the system investigates and recovers what it can. Where legally allowed, eligible recovered money returns to the pool instead of simply disappearing from public use. The goal is to turn accountability into a recirculating repair system. Stop extraction, recover value, and put that value back towards useful community capacity. The simplest teaching sentence of the whole letter might be, what if fraud recovery didn't just stop harm, but after restitution and legal obligations, helped fund the next round of community repair? The three main ideas underneath that is one doorway for communities to submit needs through one simple portal. Two, smart routing. Existing agencies review projects in their areas of expertise and allow distribution of funds. Three, recirculation. Eligible recovered funds can replenish the pool and help finance future projects. So one of the biggest downsides I see with this is if people don't want to get involved, or if people, now I don't want to say get complacent, but if people don't want to stay up on, so with this, that would allow an individual that knows the need of their community to submit their projects or their ideas directly to the Treasury for funding.
So pretty much like instead of increasing taxes to help pay for everything, this would be like an additional buffer on top of that
Yes.
without increasing the taxes.
Yes. And one of the other parts of this follow-on letter that I sent to the Treasury was asking them if they would be, for them to allow people of, different communities to pilot this. So start with a few, start with a smaller group of people that are already ready to get projects for their community started. Humanitarian efforts. That was a big part of the last part of the letter. Because if it worked and it worked well, it would be scalable. So that means more and more people could do it. So that's like a part of the using the chat that really helped me was it helped me be able to formulate my ideas and also work with the language that they could understand.
Right. So using funds in the community, like what comes to my mind is a lot of these homes that are in disrepair that have somebody usually elderly or disabled. They even look like it's a house that doesn't even look like somebody lives there, but somebody can advocate for them to have their home fixed using this pool.
Well, that's actually super interesting that you brought that up because that helping people out with housing was also an additional part of the last body of work we shared in the previous episode.
Yeah.
So that was a part of the tariff distribution funds. I was hoping that this one could be more just for people to be able to, if they have a community project. So that actually is, do you want
So,
me to kind of go over the, because we're jumped ahead in our schedule, because I felt like this was really important to cover for people right now that want to know maybe more avenues to do personal funding. The other things that we wanted to share before this, like with the housing today, was the additional work that I sent in regarding the tariffs and housing. We also did a right to repair. So I was working with ways to make it easier for Americans to be able to repair their own homes or vehicles. So that's probably that was going to be another episode that we were going to do. We also wanted to work on transportation, infrastructure, and skilled labor payment restructuring. Those are going to be some of the other episodes that we're going to cover. But for this particular one, I wanted to be able to share this information, the fact that I sent this in, and that almost invite other people to get inspired if they feel, if they really want to start putting the work in. And we can create a structure to reuse funds collected through fraud to give back the opportunity for people to have the right to repair their own community and not just their home, not just their own vehicles, but to begin starting a new adventure, something they're really excited about, and they can get funded for it.
Like money and assets that were seized from groups or people who were basically scamming the system.
Yes.
Okay.
One of the ones that made me really sad actually to hear was a lot of elderly people were getting frauded because they needed medical equipment, so wheelchairs or walkers. And this was something that they were talking about on the White House YouTube channel. They did like a fraud meeting about this. And they shared that people were getting scammed because they thought they were buying medical equipment and nothing showed up. So in the event of something like that, the way that I read a situation like that is, okay, so elderly people need more access to medical equipment. They literally need it so bad. They need that care so bad that they are getting, you know, hoodwinked because the need is so great. So that's where somebody has an opportunity to step in and say, okay, I see the need. How do we fulfill this need for this group of people?
Right.
And that's, I think, honestly, one of the most, not that fraud is beautiful, but one of the really beautiful things about it is when you look at where the fraud is happening, that is showing the need that people have. Like, is there,
Like
what?
using those assets to help fulfill those needs.
Well, and that, so with all the Social Security fraud, a lot of people are doing that so that they can get extra money per month. And that was where our first or our previous episode was just giving an example of a way to give more people more security, more money for their own personal survival security. And so that's the exact same way that I looked at that situation was, okay, there's a problem. This is the problem. What's available to fulfill the needs of the problem, and how do we distribute it?
To the people that actually need it
Yeah.
instead of the some of the other scary aspects like increasing the retirement age or the funds for Social Security being what was it dried up before our generation can even withdraw it. I mean, who knows? They might try to raise the age again here in the United States. They have, in other places like France. So this could be a way to kind of keep things the same, but distribute out more to the people that need it.
Well, and another thing that's been coming up in the news a lot that I feel like, I don't know, I feel so strongly about it is how many of our children have autism
Special needs.
or special needs. Like, I mean, we have immediate experience with that. A lot of the people our age, like it's hard, like I don't want to say heartbreaking, but it's really sad because so many of us, at least one of our children, is on the spectrum.
It's like 1 in 5 now, right? Is what the new statistic.
Is that what I haven't seen the statistic, but I
It's
mean,
like 1 in 5 boys. I don't know about girls.
yeah. And when we have discussions about that, or we talk about what is the longevity of the current structure, like how does that help our children have a sustainable future, especially if so many of them have autism? And we're both like, I don't know, because a lot of them are really gifted in one area, you
Right.
know, one skill. They get really obsessed. They love whatever that is. And then, depending on how severe it is, like basic common sense or basic care skills for themselves, that's like something that we really work on with
Someone we
our,
know.
yeah. And it's really, really challenging because we hope for the best with them. But it is really, I think, really important to start looking at other alternatives, because if that many of our children, that much of our future has to live differently, that is showing us a problem and there is a need also for something different in order for the future to be able to flourish.
Interestingly enough, since we're kind of on the topic a little bit, I did see that Einstein would have been classified as autistic at the time. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So.
We saw that the other day where, yeah, a lot of his traits and mannerisms, like he would only wear like the same clothes because it was too stressful for him to make decisions about like what he was wearing.
Didn't he only sleep for like 2 hours a night? Because that's what he said, that all we needed. I don't do so well after 2 hours.
Yeah, I need more than 2 hours. But the I've noticed that they function differently. They have different care requirements. But when you can help them find the avenue that they are really passionate about, oh my gosh, there is nothing that will stop them from just going absolutely crazy over it, you know?
Oh yeah, like some what 3-year-old playing Mozart on a violin, or the ones that can paint, the people that can paint. And we have another family member that is just like that as well. She really enjoys to paint, and that's kind of her outlet.
And she's definitely on the spectrum. Like, and she's old. She's closer to, you know,
40.
40, and she's definitely on the spectrum, but she is one of the most amazing artists. And the thing with that is she, in order for her to be able to create art, she has to be able to know that she's safe, she's taken care of, and that she can be peaceful in order to create what she wants to create, you know.
But kind of using this program here with the extra pool of money, They wouldn't have to rely solely on what is it, SSI or Project 8 housing, Section 8 project. That's different. We live in the projects. No, but Section 8 or it could be a little bit better, more comfortable, at least for them if they don't have a caregiver or even have caregivers assigned to them, if they need it.
Well, I think that's also where, so we talked about tariff rebates coming in to help people, not like a UBI. Tariff rebates are going to be consenting and piloted. That was my idea. And these are just everything I'm sharing is examples that I've sent in. These are examples of ideas, and I gladly invite everybody in the world to make up their own ideas because we need them. We need more ideas. But we're just sharing ones that we've come up with right now. But this is what we're discussing today would be more of, okay, I have an idea for a healing center, and I have seen that my community has a need for a healing center. Or my community has a need for giving autistic children, for example, a safer place to play. You know, like if you had an idea like that, or let's say that your community was just overrun with SNAP benefit fraud, okay? What is that? What that tells me is that that area might be using a lot of SNAP already. There's a need for food. There's a need for cheaper food or more quality.
Well, that's one of the things I was going to say a little bit earlier is maybe like a community garden or some kind of a swap or something. We even talked about that like here in our town. There's several places here that would really benefit from like a farmer's market or even if those people need certain amount of food or what have you, eggs, milk, the basics, to come in and say, here's your milk. It's already been paid for, or even, a little bit simpler, like children need more parks, say places to play, there's a lot of them that are in disrepair completely. Or even like our roads, it's
Well, the
now that would, and so, yeah, that would be a different.
yeah, we actually came up with a different funding path for infrastructure.
Yeah,
But
I'd say
I
I'm blending the two, so that this one's completely different. It's okay. So from what I understand with this one, is that it's like if the police take down a dealer of non-regulated pharmaceuticals, and they have all that extra cash that was left behind and vehicles, that cash goes back to the police department, and the police department also has a shiny new 1200 horsepower charger to help catch other sellers of unregulated pharmaceuticals as well. Is that kind of it, but like on a smaller scale?
Well, that's actually a really good example. So let's say the police department caught people. They had a bunch of money and there was no accountability for how that money was allocated. And let's say the police department wanted to buy another, charger. They can do that. But what this is more about is let's say the police catch the dealer, the bad guy. They need to be transparent about how much. And then somebody in the community could put forth their own project and say, I feel like we need a rehabilitation. We need better rehab for people doing drugs. Or let's say, I want to open a center where we're going to do animal therapy for people going through drug abuse or rehabilitation. And this is my way of trying to contribute to the problem I'm seeing in my community. So it's, I guess the most important part of that is I feel like we all, through the last couple of years, have been going through a reevaluation of worth. And I think that ultimately it's a reevaluation of self-worth. And so where I'm coming from is I'm seeing this huge pile of reoccurring money that is available for people to be able to use, because people deserve the right to repair their community. They deserve the right to fix whatever it is they want to if they are helping the sustainability of their community. And using the money that was used to harm people is a really beautiful way of, you could say, transmuting or redirecting the flow of that money into not what keeps harming people, or not what keeps, the fraud loop going, right? The monopolies, all that stuff. It should be able to go to people that actually want to try to help fix their world. And that's what I sent that letter to the Department of Justice, because I feel like letting them also know how important it is for them to keep doing this. It's a circulating loop. If they keep going out fighting the good fight, even though it's really hard, to be able to see that those assets that they collect are going to be able to go back to the people to fix their communities. Like, what would be better than that? I think that would be so great. And the other really beautiful part is, okay, let's say somebody put in a project with the intent of committing massive amounts of fraud. If we were more aware of accountability, okay, they'd have to go through the process of, oh, whatever happened, they weren't telling the truth on their project or whatever. But that money that's taken back from that gets to just go straight back in so it can go to other people.
And a lot of the biggest ones are, billions of dollars.
Yeah, like billions and billions of dollars. Well, so there's been a lot of shows on BBS radio that I've been very grateful to be able to listen to. And they have talked about doing projects. They've talked about getting involved in your community. And I just wanted to share that I've started sending my ideas of how this can work to the government. The money really is there that everybody's been asking for to fund their projects, but we need to give them a reason to believe that there actually are people there that want to fix their community. So if people felt so inclined, if they go to treasury.gov, there are phone numbers there where you can contact the Treasury. There's also an email at the very, if you scroll all the way down at the bottom, there's also a congressional inquiries is how the email address starts. And I would ask people to let them know that if you want to fix your community, tell them. And you can tell them that you know there's money there to be allocated for what you're doing. And if you want to share what it is that your plan is, what you want to do, I feel like if enough people were able to do that, because that's where the money actually is, the system to give the money back to you to fund whatever it is that you want to do is there.
Yeah, and like be persistent. Think of Shawshank.
Yeah.
Remember, he wrote the letter asking for more books for the library. They ignored him. They ignored him for I don't remember how many months. And then he started writing a letter a week, and then two letters a week, And then eventually his persistence paid off to the point to where they gave him a truckload of books and told him to stop writing. So
Yeah.
it eventually worked in that sense, you know. So
We have to be able to demand our worth.
yeah.
We have to be able to demand our worth because we are worth saving. Our children are worth creating a world that can hold them. And I know that everybody, we can do it if we really want to. And this is just an example of how to do it. And I think it's just been absolutely wonderful to be able to be here. And I get to be here with you.
Yeah.
And we get to explore these different ideas. And yeah, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, you've been able to share your ideas and how you went about translating them to be able to send out these letters to, you know, many different. Th this is just like one of well over a dozen that you've sent out so far. But I guess the point is what we're trying to make here is that anybody and everybody can do this. And
Yes.
the persistence of everybody together can annoy the system enough to where things can change. You know, and it's always kind of like people want to push it back on our like voted representatives and all that, but like to me, that this is I get no, I'm not gonna get into that, but
If people,
we have everybody has their own individual voice, and everybody can even use the free version of the software to translate it into a way to make those changes.
yes, I mean, that's one thing that if people felt like they had an idea or they already had a project for their community that they worked on, a really good way to be able to proofread it. Or help direct it exactly to the audience. Like, let's say you wanted to submit it to the Treasury for funding. It is so helpful with that. And it's so helpful with figuring out approximations of how much something would cost. So, like, if you needed a rent somewhere for your idea or your center, you can actually use the AI, all the different AIs are capable of doing this, whichever one you'd be more comfortable with. Or if you already have like a Word document, you can submit that, it can read through it, and it can help you.
Well, Google has like the built-in chat now. It's all completely free.
Yeah, that one's not as in-depth, like the one where you on your search bar. I would actually go to maybe one of the more in-depth ones if you wanted to like upload your file. Like if you already had a completed project file for your community. But yeah, like if you have questions about how much it is to rent somewhere in your area or you had questions about anything else locally for your project, the Google one can help you with that too.
Or even redirect you to somewhere else.
Well, I think we're coming close to the end of our time today. I'm so grateful to be able to connect with anybody that is
Dares to
listening.
listen.
Yeah. And I'm really happy to be able to be here with Justin,
I'm really happy to
and
be here with you too.
we hope that some people maybe are getting something out of this, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for everybody. Thank you so much for listening today.
Thank you, and have a great, great day. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.